Mindset to Mike. Can you imagine what your life can be like?
We're talking growth and development, tools, tips, tricks, habits and routines proven by the highest performers in the world of the mind and body. Success starts with the mindset, and you can do it too. Let's go.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to the show. Mindset to Mike, Jimmy C on this side.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Drew over here. And welcome back. We back again.
We back. Long awaited. Young Andy Castle over here, been around the world and back since last time we spoke.
All around the world.
He looks different. He looks, I'm looking at him on the Zoom screen. He looks different. He looks cultured.
More cultured. So the land of my people.
Yeah, man. Where'd you go? You went to Italy, Greece, Spain. Where didn't you go?
Well, we did a Mediterranean cruise. We started in Monaco and went to Italy and then Greece and then Turkey and then back to Greece.
Nice. So do you spend like a day in each location?
Yeah, there was, let's see. We stopped at like 7 ports, maybe. So we left on the ship in Monaco, then went to Italy, hit Rome, then went to a couple other places in Italy, Sorrento, Salerno, and then we went down to Sicily, then up through up to Greece, and then out to one of the Greek islands, Santorini, and up to Turkey, and then Istanbul, Turkey, and then we came back down to Athens, and that's where we spent our last night. In Europe was in Athens.
My goodness, you run into any fam, any Castelluccios over there?
I mean, they might be, they might have saw me or felt my presence, but they didn't say buongiorno to me or anything.
what was your, don't sum up the trip, but what was your one big takeaway from the world, the trip across the world?
Dude,
put you on the spot.
The United States is so young, bro. Like from a historical perspective.
Oh yeah.
Like seeing all these ancient sites, like buildings and structures and like from civilizations that are like over 2000 years old is crazy, bro.
Yeah. You've seen the Colosseum, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, we saw so much stuff like that, man. And like in Athens and going and seeing, you know, the Parthenon, the Acropolis and all that stuff, dude, like just like ancient stuff. It just makes you realize. And like the cultures are so interesting, you know, we kind of have a melting pot here, which is kind of cool. We get a little bit of a lot of things, but you really don't get like the ends and of like being immersed in like that kind of stuff, dude, like just, you know, the different languages. And I mean, everyone really speaks English across the world, which is pretty remarkable. That that's like one of the common, like, it's, I mean, I think the most spoken language in the world is like Mandarin or something like that, but a lot of people know English, which makes traveling a lot easier for people like us, right? Dude, it just opens your eyes to how small your world can be if you never like experience culture and diversity like on a global scale, right? It's pretty cool. It's definitely a privilege to be able to do some of these things, but if you can make it a point in your life to do something like that, it's definitely worth it, dude. Like if you were to shut down like Christmas and gifts for like 2 years, if you had to, or whatever it took to like do something like on this scale, dude, it's so worth it, bro.
That's cool. Nice. Well, let's, in the time since we last spoke, you know, I've been here, dude, you know, just
doing the tour of Akron,
just doing the tour of my homeland, baby, you know, the motherland, Akron, Ohio, green right now. You know, I'm exploring, getting out of my comfort zone a little bit, going from the living room to the bedroom to the kitchen, doing what I got to do, dude. And I will tell you, my favorite memory as a kid, dude, was building sandcastles with my grandpa, man, until my mom took the urn. Hey-o! Let's get into it, baby. What are you gonna talk about, dude? You traveler. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, Jetson? Man. So I was, you know, I got back and I started getting back in my routines and stuff. So throwing the audio books and, you know, just kind of contemplating some things on my nightly walks. And this came to mind. That's probably sparked from some of the content that I was listening to. But, you know, the basis of your life is the lesson. Like what happened, like everyone's looking for some form of like to become something to, they're looking for an end game, right? Like, I just got to get to this. I just need to be this. Not realizing that what your experiences are. I mean, that's the whole thing. There is no end.
This is it.
This is it. Like this, there's no end to it. It's just everything that is doesn't end. There's no beginning and end. It's just a transition from one thing to the next. Yeah. And your life is literally the lesson that's, I mean, I believe that we come here for like to experience life. Right. And we probably have, depending on what you believe, whether you're religious or not, or you believe you have a soul purpose, right? Like there's things in us that make us happy and confident and excited and joyful when we do those things. So those things tend to align with like what you can associate to like a life purpose. This is why I'm here. I mean, if there's something that you enjoy doing, there's a reason why you enjoy doing it on some level. So I think, you know, your life being the lesson is like, you can learn, like you are creating everything that's happening to you. And you can learn from that within yourself to how to direct your life to where you ultimately want to go.
I like that, dude. And I feel it. I think about this often, especially since having kids, you know what I mean? And they're growing up a little bit. I think about like when you have like a tough day with the kids, like they're being assholes and it's just, they're fighting and it's like, you're just having a rough day. Right. So then you just kind of get through the day, you're surviving the day with the, you know, to, and then you get to the end of it. And then you're like, ah, that day was tough. You know, all right, tomorrow's going to be better. But, and you, but then you take, if you take a step back and you think about it, it's like that, I'm not saying this the way that I'm thinking it, but when I say this is it, it's like, you think about your kids growing up, you think about your life, right? And then like, you're like, well, yesterday was a bad day. Let's get past it. But also like yesterday was part of it. Yesterday was part of this whole thing. Like, so even when things are bad or like you're having a rough day, like this is it though. This is life. Like you're in it. You are, there's no future. There's no past. Like this is it right now. And when you think about your life and you like to like kind of plan it out, like I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I want to be this. I want to be that. Well, when you look back, if you fast forward, when you look back, the stuff that you're doing right now is the stuff that you're going to remember. Like this is you're living it, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. This is it. These are the memories that you will have. Like there is no, like you said, there's no end game. It's not like you're going to get to a certain job or your kids get to a certain age. And then you start like, this is my life. Now I'm living. No. Like now is it what, you know, you might be grinding and like on a climbing the corporate ladder or doing whatever you're doing, but that's still part of it. It's not like when you get there, your life begins. This is still a part of it.
Yeah. You
and
have
it's
to
an important part.
You have to accept everything in its entirety, whether it's good or bad or right or wrong. Like there's no separation in anything really. And in order to get to where you want, you have to first understand where you are. You have to know where you are in order to get where you want to be.
Conscious of it.
Yeah. You have to be conscious of yourself. And, you know, we fall into these habits and routines and like things that we think we should be doing. But another thing that I was thinking on was like, we got into this whole habit thing. I think some people might resonate with this. Like maybe you're overweight, you overeat, or maybe you have a smoking habit or something like that. Everyone looks at like the habit, like the habit's the problem. And realistically, the habit is just a solution to a deeper problem. Mm-hmm. Like you created the habit as a solution to a problem that you're not willing to deal with. You know, you something happened a long time ago. Maybe you're at a party, you know, you're a teenager. There's a lot of peer pressure. You feel uncomfortable. Everyone around you is smoking. So you was like, oh, I'll try smoking. And then that became a little bit of comfort because now you're fitting in with the crowd. You're relieving some anxiety. And then, you know, the issue is, so now you have that. So anytime you get uncomfortable, you get anxious, you go for a cigarette. So the cigarette's not the problem. It's the fact that you felt uncomfortable in that moment and you didn't deal with it, or why you felt uncomfortable, right? The same thing with food, like people overweight. Like, what if you were to reverse things and ask the question the other way around? Instead of saying, like, I'm fat because I overeat, what if it was?
Hold on, bro. I just watched last night, dude. I watched Austin Powers. And to quote the late, great Fat Bastard, dude, I'm fat because I eat, and I'm eat because I'm fat.
Yeah, so that's kind of it, dude. But what if you were to say it, like, really seriously sit with this and say, I overeat because I want to be fat, because you being fat is part of your identity, and who would you be if you weren't fat? And if you can't answer that question, then you're going to keep being fat.
Ooh, that's deep.
Until you're willing to deal with why you're choosing to be fat.
Yeah.
And this gets a little tricky based on people's beliefs, because, you know, there's a lot of health things and there's a lot of factors that go into why people are overweight or why people do what they do. But at its core, typically any kind of ailment or physical attributes on that level are contributed to something that you're doing and you have control over. Yeah, there's some genetic stuff, but even genetics, dude, you know, the modern science says, sure, you can be predisposed to certain things that may cause X, Y, and Z, but your gene expression is dictated by your environment, internal and external. So how you think and how you feel about yourself and the things that you're consuming and doing and being around all impact like your gene expression. This is why when you go to different places geographically, people look different because the environment's different. Their diets are different. You know, like, it's really right in front of us, dude, to identify these things. But it's so easy to place the blame and outside of ourselves of why things are happening to us. This is the classic victim mindset, right? Like, everyone thinks that things happen to them not because of who they are. Like, you are presented with not what you do all the time. It's like you are being presented with who you are, and who you are is your actions and your beliefs.
Yep, that's good.
So yeah, what do you think about that, bro?
I like it. I got like a million things going on in my head from what you just said.
It's just a lot, bro.
I mean, I'm trying to land on one thing that spit out of my mouth, but I can't. It's all good stuff. It seems like we always come back to, like, you know, the same kind of theme, you know, just about, you know, you controlling you and your environment and everything. But, you know, I think I like what you said about we, like, why are you, you know, the root cause, like, why are you, and I deal with that, right? I'm somebody who can constantly, if you listen to this fucking podcast, you know, I'm constantly like, I'm exercising this week, I'm getting back into this, boom, boom, boom. And it, I just do that on and off. I've done it for years, right? So then it's like, what's the real reason that I can't commit to that, or that I don't commit to that? Is there a good reason? Or is it because, you know, if I really do some searching, is it because of something, you know, I need to find the root cause of that and fix that. Like, what, you know, the, like, what would it even, cause I'm constantly looking for a motivation to do it. Right. But it's like, what would it even take? What outside, I'm looking for an outside motivator rather than motivating myself from internally. And you can't do that because then you end up doing what I do. And it's just kind of like dipping your toe in for fucking 6 years. And the next thing you know, you got a little pot belly on you and you look like my dad, dude. So, yeah. You know, I need to, in that scenario, look at myself and inside, why, you know, I got to motivate myself, and what can I use to motivate me to do that? Why, what it is about me that makes me not do that? Is there something like I would feel uncomfortable, or I would feel different, or got to do some searching and look at that? But that's what it made me think.
Yeah. I would agree with that. And, you know, the external factors are, the motivation that comes with them is very limited, right? like it comes in spurts. Like you can see somebody doing something, you can get a little inspired, and it's like, oh, I'm gonna do this too. I'm gonna make the decision. But that goes away once you start relying on external things to keep your motivation high. Those things go away. The next thing you know, you're like, that dies off, and then the next thing comes around, right? Like, oh, I'm gonna do this.
So motivation comes and goes, man. Yeah.
So it's up to you to decide for yourself. You know, first of all, identifying where you're at or what's your idea. So here's a meditation practice I started doing recently. It's basically envisioning and embodying like your ideal self. Like seriously, like closing your eyes and then pretending that like maybe in your left hand is who you currently are, right? If you can get a snapshot of like who you are right now. And you can assign categories to this. You can just be, this can be what fit Jimmy would look like, right? Or this is what Jimmy looks like now physically in the left hand. And then you could say, in my right hand, this is going to be what I want, the Jimmy I want to be physically. And then you'd go into this meditative state to where you can vision like Jimmy with a six pack, Jimmy, you know, putting up 225, 10 times or whatever.
Unk, boy.
Bro, so literally with your mind, picture what you would look like and then embody those emotions of what it would be. So this is how you would feel if you were that guy. And what you're doing at this level is you're creating an energetic resonance to identify with that, to allow that energy to come into your space and like manifest it into the physical form. And then, you know, as you deepen the meditation, you slowly bring your hands together, boom. And then you're molding both of those identities together, saying like, you are now embracing who you are choosing or who you want to be on that level. Everything happens on an energy level before it happens in a physical. So the power of the mind and intention is super critical to embodying things like in real life. When I say real life, that's kind of a fucking not even real either. Everything's real. You know, it's either all real or it's all not real, right? It's just how it's your perception of it and your awareness of it. So I think doing stuff like that, and then, you know, you got to hold yourself accountable. You know, what would, if this is who I want to be, what would this guy be doing right now to obtain that or to maintain that?
Yeah. Know? They do have again, man. This is what we do, baby. It's we go out there and then we come back.
It's always the same thing. And as soon as you can start taking charge on some of those things, man, I think you have so much power to create like the life you want to live. And you just have to realize that, you know, you're a product of what your belief system. So everything that you see, hear, feel, and experience runs through the filter of your beliefs. And in order to change that, you have to identify those. And the easiest way to do that is to find some neutrality. Like just go a day being neutral about everything. Try not to even emotionally act on like everything. Something bad happens or you think is bad, you remain neutral. Something great happens, well, you want to celebrate it, but okay, maybe just remain neutral. You know,
that's good.
Everything is neutral and it inherently neutral. It's only what we ascribe to it that makes it good or bad, right or wrong, or somewhere in between, right? And those ideas are different for everybody on some level. So, you know, we've said this many times too, what's good for you may be bad for me. But so why would I, just because I don't agree to it, doesn't mean I can't see it for what it is either, right?
That's really good. That's good stuff. I am going to shift gears on you motherfuckers real quick.
Bring it.
Now, it part of who I am is I forget most things. Okay. That's one thing you got to know about me is I forget some stuff, dog. I've been guilty. I'm forgetting some things. So if I start talking right now and it's some stuff I've already said on here, shut me down.
Bro, I'm pretty sure I've said the same thing about every episode, just in a different way. So you're good.
Facts. So, all right. This is just something that I listened to the other day that really struck me and I wrote it down. I don't know if I've said it before, but if I did, deal with it. And then if I say it, if I did and I say it now and it's in a shittier fashion than I did the first time, dog, go back and listen to the other one. All right. But so this is, it was talking about going through something tough or going through a tough time or, you know, specifically the person I was listening to on the podcast, he's sober and he was formerly an addict. And he was talking about like just being sober and like dealing with like depression and things like that. It was Theo, the comedian, Theo Von. And he was talking about how this tool that he uses when he feels when things are really hard, right? He talks to himself about 24 hours. And if you break everything into 24 hours, the things that you're going through change in size, scope, and impact, right? So if you were to say, what kind of stuff could you handle for 24 hours? Like, do you think you could be cold for 24 hours? Like, well, yeah, I could be cold for 20, you know, it's 24 hours. If I could do most things for 24 hours, could you not eat for 24 hours? Of course I could not eat for 24 hours. Could you, if you look at a 24 hour window, you can do most things. And I would imagine most people feel pretty confident about their ability to endure things for 24 hours, endure being the key word, right? Like difficult times, you can do most things for 24 hours. So if you're going through something bigger and more difficult and it's daunting to think about, right? Like you just get dumped or something, right? And you're like, oh, this is painful. I'm heartbroken. Can I be heartbroken for 24 hours? Like the pain I have right now, can I do it for 24 hours? Instead of thinking about it like, man, I'm going to be heartbroken and in this pain forever, right? Maybe, I don't know, maybe. But that's a real tough thing to get through when you're looking at it from that lens. But if you say, can I feel like this for just 24 hours, assuming that the 25th hour I'm going to feel differently? Yeah, you probably can. The lens changes, right? The lens becomes, okay, this is bad. But it could just be 24 hours and let's reevaluate. Yeah, let's reevaluate in hour 25. And then maybe you do it another day, but you look at hour 25 as like a new day and a new opportunity to say, how do I feel? And can I do this for 24 hours? And if you look at it in chunks of 24 hours, these big daunting things we go through in life, feelings, emotions, pain, it becomes so much more manageable in chunks.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good way to look at it, because if you are in a fully charged moment, dude, it feels like the end of the world for a lot of things that can happen. Yeah, but it's important that you feel those things too, right? Because if you
that's
don't,
life, it's part of it.
Yeah, you got to be in or all in or not, dude. Like if you're the type of person, and I might still be guilty of this too. Some things like just not like expressing like, ah, man, I generally feel pretty neutral about a lot of things, but I don't experience a lot of peaks and valleys. I would say those opportunities are there for me to do that, but I just kind of, I don't know, but maybe something I need to, you know, look at on myself. But I think it's important that when you feel something is you fucking feel it. So you feeling it doesn't mean lashing out at other people either, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there's a way to handle it and feel the feels without being malicious or hurting other people or, you know, pointing the finger, placing blame elsewhere. Feel those feelings, because the longer you don't feel things, the more that energy has to go somewhere eventually. And if it doesn't, if it gets stuck somewhere within you, then now you're creating what could manifest into some type of health issue or deeper anxiety ridden stuff. So, but that's a great way to look at it, is like knowing and feeling that whatever's happening is only temporary. Yeah. And if you can ascribe a time frame to it and at least force you to reevaluate your state at that 25 hour mark, that's powerful, man. Cause then you're reflecting and looking back. Like, yep. Then you can say, damn, 24 hours ago, man, I was fucked.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I can't believe that happened. But look at me now. You know, I learned this X, Y, Z. Like, damn, I know I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to, like, oh, man, you know. So it's a great time to put in perspective. Like,
And it struck me with the parenting thing, right? Because that, you know, I'm in the middle of it. And because, you know, there are times where as a parent, you know, the kids might be fighting or throwing a fit or whatever it may be, or like school drop off might not go well. Like they don't want to get out of the car. Right. And it's like, it's a high intensity, emotionally charged type of moment. Or they're throwing a fit in the store or whatever it may be. Right. And as a parent, when you think of that, you're like, you just dread it. You're like, oh my God, like it's the absolute worst when you're in it because time seems to stop. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so emotionally charged when your kids are just doing something so crazy or you know, it's a high intensity moment that you're like, it feels like it lasts forever. Mm-hmm. But when I heard that, I was like, man. And then I've been trying to like, when something like that starts happening, be like, okay, well, this is, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, this is going to be bad for 15 minutes. And I can do anything for 15 minutes. You know what I mean? Like say it's school drop off and we're on the way and my daughter's having a really difficult time. She's already crying. She doesn't want to get out of the car. I know when we get there, she's not going to want to get out of the car. She's going to cry. The teacher's going to have to climb in the car and yank her out. Right. Like you're like, oh, this is going to be so bad. You start building it up right into even worse. Right. And then one, your energy is already helping make it bad.
Yeah. I was just going to say that.
But if you're able to shift that and instead go, whatever happens, it's going to be over in 25 minutes max. Mm-hmm. However this goes, good, bad, ugly, it's over in 25 minutes. So let me just go into it with that mindset. No, we're going to get through it. It is what it is. Whether it goes good or bad, we're going to get through it and we're going to be done with it in 25 minutes. And then that's like, okay. And it not that it makes you feel totally great about it, but it makes you feel better. It takes a lot of that weight off of your shoulder of anticipating the nightmare, or even when you're stuck in it, being like, this is going to take forever because it feels like forever. But the reality is, again, most things are in small chunks and it's about looking at them like that and being able to step aside from yourself and go, or the situation and go, this is going to be over. And then it gives you right? And then it makes it easier to deal with in the moment and easier to reflect on after. And because of your energy, easier for everybody in the situation.
Yeah, I agree. There's a difference between like preparing for something and then worrying about something. You know, the energetic presence of those two things are totally different, right?
Oh yeah.
A preparedness is there's a sense of calm, maybe a little bit of anticipation and elevated emotion, but worrying is just like sporadic energy, dude. Like there's no focus, right? That just leaves more opportunity for things to even go way worse if the energy is just going all over the board. But if you have some type of focus and preparedness and anticipation on how things might go and like play it out in your head how you think, like calmly how you would want to handle that situation, right? So I think that's there's some cool things you can do about that. But that's powerful, man. I think anytime you take the time to reflect on yourself and evaluate your current emotional state and then give yourself some time to say, what could this be like in 24 hours? Or, you know, it doesn't have to be a day. It could be whatever, you know, give yourself time, the time that you feel that you need, but check back in. That's the key, I think, is checking back in at some point to say, all right, take notes of what changed between now and then, or what did you do in between now and then that helped shift that change or that, you know? So
yeah,
I like it.
All right, man. I think that's a good one, dude. Right before we did this, we had a little Thanksgiving luncheon at work, dude. I put some turkey in my body, dude.
You look sleep.
Dude, that's, I got this energy beverage, man. Turkey will put you down. Turkey's also a myth, dude. I don't think turkey is, nobody, you don't eat turkey, dude. And you might say, right. Oh, okay, I have a turkey sandwich, dude. I get a turkey sandwich. No, you don't, bro. None of you do. You eat turkey on Thanksgiving. You bro, don't
once
love
a year.
It. Dude, yeah, you don't love it. It's BS, dog. It's a garbage animal. It's just forced upon us. Nobody likes turkey. I told somebody this 20 or before we did this, and he said, "No, I do. I get turkey sandwiches." I'm like, "Well, how often?" Well, I don't know. Every time I go to the grocery store. When do you go to the grocery store? No, I haven't been in a couple months. You're full of shit, dog. Yeah, nobody eats turkey. It's trash.
Maybe, yeah, maybe some deli turkey here and there, I guess. But no one's out there getting the bird, bro. No, once a year.
You're not deep frying a turkey in fucking April. It ain't happening. Garbage food.
Bro, I wish I could remember how this went. I think it might have been a Theo that said something about this. Like turkey's poison, dude. Like we just poison ourselves once a year just to get that sleepiness, you know, that night hitter, bro. Fucking knock you down. That's so funny.
That's good. All right, man. So let that be it. We will get back after you creeps pretty soon. You know, probably not before Thanksgiving. This will drop, but then you'll have Thanksgiving with your family. Hopefully everybody takes a few minutes to be thankful for everything. I know I'm thankful and grateful for a million things, everything around me. I got this dope ass new pen that I stole from somebody at work, and it is clean. Let's go. It's energy, oh boy. Grateful. So in this light, grateful for some thievery, baby. Shout out Tim Demos, who I took this boy from, but he'll find out. Yeah, man. Hopefully everybody's grateful, thankful, has an awesome Thanksgiving, man. We'll get back at you guys after the Thanksgiving day, and hopefully we'll get an episode to you that following week or whatever, man.
For sure.
Until then, grow your brain a little bit.
That's it. Power's in the present. Go get it.